Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may recall that I was, shall we say, a little wiped out last week after the children's services. It was with some relief, then, that I hopped into my car to head off. But just as I was turning out of the driveway, I noticed the church sign. The sign was proclaiming to the world, "This Sunday, call your friends." Well, that was just what I had preached about, or tried to preach about, to the kids. So the sign was now proclaiming a sermon title that was already used up. I like doing this business of putting the sermon title of the upcoming Sunday on the church sign because it gives people who are driving by the sense that this is a living church and that its preacher is concerned with things that they might care about. Great idea. The trouble is, like most great ideas, it's easier said than done. If I'm going to pull it off, this great notion, I have to be on top of my game. To pull it off, I must A, have some slight inkling of what I might be preaching about next Sunday, and B, I must remember to change the sign. But in that moment, as I sat idling on the side of Route 124 with my hazards on, I looked at the sign and realized, A, I didn't have the slightest inkling of what I was going to preach about next Sunday, and B, I'd forgotten to change the sign. So, I looked at the sign, and the sign looked at me, and that, my friends, was the moment that it hit me. Next Sunday, that is today, was going to be Mother's Day. So all I had to do was change one word. All I had to do was change call your friends to call your mom. Call your mom. Perfect. Even if I had trouble making a sermon to fit that title, it wouldn't matter because after all, it was a timely and positive sentiment that would be just right for the sign. And I thought, if our little sign inspires someone out there in the world to call their mom, we, as a church, will have succeeded in a small act of love upon which to grow our Christian faith. Ironically, of course, most of us, not all of us, but most of us in this room, can't call our moms, at least not in the regular way, by picking up the phone. For most of us, our moms are long since gone. And it may be that some of us who can pick up the phone to call our moms don't really want to. That, it's worth noting, is the problem with the so-called Mother's Day sermon. I could head down to the CVS and pick up 100 Mother's Day cards and shuffle them up and read them out to you as a sermon. And the result might warm many hearts, but I suspect one or two of you might leave here thinking, it's a little more complicated than that. But watch out, Mark, this is a bit of a minefield because while all of us have moms, many of us out there are moms, right? So while I have no doubt that every mom present here today is, of course, a great mom, even best moms are willing to admit now and then that she made a mistake. Perhaps the ability to admit this is part of what it takes to be a great mom. Let's just say that being a mom is not always easy. But that, I think, is all the more reason to honor moms. Moms, this is your day. It is my hope that all your kids, wherever they may be, happened to see a sign on the side of the road somewhere reminding them to call you, and that they call you today and tell you how much they love you. As I thought about this last week, I could not help, of course, thinking about Lois Koyama, my own dear mom. I thought about how nice it would be to pick up the phone and talk to her. I thought about what I would say if I could talk to her. And that was when I remembered Kaze no Denwa. Kaze no Denwa is a Japanese phrase that means telephone of the wind. Telephone of the wind. I first heard about the telephone of the wind on a radio program that is called This American Life. I listened to the program in my car on the way up to Jaffrey. And I had a little bit of difficulty staying on the road because pretty soon I was weeping. I wasn't teary-eyed, I was full-on weeping. The tears were streaming down my face. The story opened up something deep within me. On the hilltop overlooking the town of Otsuchi on the northeastern coast of Japan, there is an old-fashioned telephone booth. And inside the telephone booth, there is an old black rotary phone. Many people these days don't know what an old rotary phone looks like, let alone how to use one. Many of you know. I remember myself, so I'm sure many of you remember. Right? But even if people knew how to use it, it would do them little good, because that old rotary phone is not connected to anything. It's not connected to the telephone wire, and it's not connected to any cellular technology. But it is connected to something. It is connected to something that requires no dialing. It is connected to the wind. This morning's scripture reading from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John is a revealing moment. It is revealing because a little way through the reading, it gradually becomes clear that you are reading a prayer that is being offered by Jesus Christ himself. Well, we are often told in the gospel that Jesus goes off by himself to pray. But rarely are we close enough to hear what he is saying when he is speaking to God. In today's reading, we are close enough to overhear Christ's prayer itself. And though the word mother does not appear in these verses, it is not hard to hear Christ's prayer, in Christ's prayer, an undertone of concern that sounds distinctly mom-like. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, Christ declares, like a proud mom who has brought up her children as best she could. I am asking on their behalf that you protect them. This, in a nutshell, is the narrative movement of parenting. It is the hope in the heart of all momness. The hope that, A, you've done your best. B, now it's up to them. But C, the world is cruel. So D, please, God, protect them. Jesus is facing a hard reality that all parents sometimes face. That our ability to protect our children is limited, and a time will come when they will be on their own. But in this moment, Jesus does not despair. Instead, he speaks with the imagination of the heart, praying to that love that will always be there, even when he is not. prayer connects us, moms and dads, who live only a short while, with a love that lasts forever. The man who put the old phone booth in his garden is a man named Itaru Sasaki. He put the phone in his garden in 2010 after the death of his cousin. He wanted to continue to communicate with his dead cousin, but he found that his thoughts couldn't be relayed over a regular phone line. The phone booth was Sasaki's answer to this problem. This way, he said, his thoughts could be carried on the wind. The imagination of his heart created this new thing, and it would have stopped there, a very personal, intimate gesture. But then, on March 11th, 2011, the town of Otsuchi, where Mr. Sasaki lived, was hit by the tsunami that, in a matter of a few minutes, flattened half of the town, claiming the lives of 10% of its population, over 1,200 people. Soon, the word got out. In the years since the tragedy, thousands and thousands of people have come to use the phone to speak to their lost loved ones. The telephone of the wind. Like Jesus, it is connected, not to a telephone wire or a cellular tower, but to something far greater, something eternal, the imagination of the heart. Amen.